about this very special shiur. She told me that maybe a couple of her friends will be here and a couple of people in the community. I should have known a little bit that I know the Schwartzmans. I should have known that we'd have a much larger crowd than I ever imagined. I have a few copies, I have about 20 copies, so please feel free to take them to us on the source sheet. And I hope the shiur will be understandable and enjoyable, even if you don't have a copy to follow along. But please, you can share with your neighbors. We'll make it work. It's a very humbling experience to be here with all of you. And of course, this year is dedicated to L'Ilui Nishmas Masha Bas Meir Lev. And it says so much about who she was, just seeing the number of people, like I mentioned a moment ago, who are here today, family and friends. I never had the schus to meet Mrs. Schwartzman, but having met some of her children, and again, hearing from people who knew her, to get a taste, a glimpse of the life of the woman who she was, the mother who she was, the friend who she was, the spouse who she was. And one of the themes that kept coming up in describing her life was her connection to art. It was her unique connection to art, her ability to be creative with her artistic, magnificent artistic ability, her ability to join in other people's smachot, using her talent as an artist. And art is really a very deep expression of one's soul. Art can be almost a form of tefillah. It's a tefillah that's spoken with one's soul, spoken with one's hands, not necessarily spoken with one's lips. But it comes from a very, very deep place in one's neshama. And I figured how appropriate it would be to try to tap into that theme, to try to understand the role that art plays in the tshuva process. Because I think there's a deep connection, something that's very profound for us to think about in the month of El. When you think about art, when you think about the ability to be creative, artistic abilities, immediately what comes to mind is a gemara that appears two places in Shas, once in Brachos, again in Maseches Megillah. It's in the first source for those who have the source sheet in front of you. On the left-hand side of the page, I took a picture. I took a picture that I found online. It was the last picture posted on the Facebook page of Masha. And it's a picture of a magnificent chuppah, like many that she designed, and how appropriate it contains the words Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, which we know from the Svarim is an acronym for Chodesh Elul. Elul is Rashi Tevos, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. Such a beautiful work of art, such a magnificent picture. And the Gemara tells us about the nature of a person who has artistic abilities and wants to be creative. The Gemara says in source number one, we'll read from the third line, two of the Tanaim were discussing an explanation of a pasuk, Mai Dichsiv, Barchi Nafshi Yas Hashem, V'chol Kravai Yas Shem Kasho. What is the meaning of the pasuk Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem, that my soul, Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem, b'chol kravai, that my inner is Shem Kadsho. Amar Lei, bo re'ei shalo kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar adam. Look at the difference, the distinction between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midas basar adam. When a person tries to create, again, a sculpture, a painting, a person is tzar tzura al gabe kota. A person draws an image upon a wall, but can't bring that sculpture, can't bring that piece of art, which has people and has experiences taking place, and we all understand there's something lifelike about it, but it's not truly alive. You're not able to infuse it with the spirit of life. You can't give it an innards, you can't give it the kishkas of a human being, of flesh and blood. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest artist of all, can go one step further. Tzartzura b'soch tzura. He draws an image inside of another image. He creates a person inside of another person, a child forming in a mother's womb. Umata b'ruach ha'neshama. He infuses it with the spirit of life, with a soul. Kravayim b'nei me'ayim, the innards, the inner workings of a human being. V'hainu da'amra chana, and that's what Chana so beautifully, so poetically declared in her tefillah, Ein kadosh ka'ashem, ki ein biltecha, v'ein sor kelokeno. My ain sor kelokin. What does it mean that there's no rock like our God. There's no source of strength like our God. Ein tzayar kelokim. There's no artist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest artist of all, the one who's able to create living artwork. But the truth is, as I was thinking about this Gemara, and I was thinking about the life of an artist, of a woman who, again, had this artistic ability, but she was able also to bring art to life, to be able to infuse the artwork that she crafted with the spirit of life, with ruach, with neshama. And the greatest art that anyone creates in this world, anyone who's blessed with children, anyone who's able to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the greatest masterpieces, one's own children, one's sons and daughters, if they're so fortunate, right, is also really living like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being an artist in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create living artwork in the form of our children, which carry on our legacy and carry on our life's lessons and hopefully the values that we hold dear. And again, knowing the Schwartzman children, and seeing again the beautiful crowd today, the beautiful siyum that we heard a few moments ago, and again people who are b'nei aliyah, who are striving for connection to Torah and to mitzvos and to all aspects of avodas Hashem, I think it's a tremendous work of art that will carry on the legacy of the mother and the wife who is so beloved and is no longer with us. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos we have a mitzvah to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful, we have to be merciful. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate, we have to be compassionate. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy, we have an obligation to strive to the best of our ability. Kedoshim Tiyu, to be holy like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But maybe we can add, maybe if we have Rishus to add, I would say, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a great artist, so we also have to become great artists. Now, some people are more artistic, some people not at all. But what does it mean, again in the context of Chodesh Elul, what does it mean to be an artist? What does it mean to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is described here in this first source of this Gemara as being the greatest artist? The artist is able to create life, to create living images in such a profound way. I want to share with you a comment from Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger was an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, the Rav of Broidy in Galicia. He authored in the course of his lifetime over 150 svarim. I can't mention Rabbi Shlomo Kluger without reminding myself of the experience I had once in a svarim store in Muncie. I walked into Tovia's, very famous svarim store in Muncie, and I walked over to the shelf where the new Chumash svarim were displayed, and I looked on the shelf and I saw that they had recently published another volume from Shlomo Kluger. Again, there are already countless volumes, many manuscripts still waiting to be published, and I looked at this shelf and I saw there was a volume called Chachmas Shlomo al Torah, a volume of the writings of Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, this great Rav of Galicia, on Chumash. And on the side of this volume, about 500, 600 pages, it said Bereshis. I said, wow. You know, that means the whole set. This is just the Bereshis volume. You know, the whole Chumash is going to be thousands of pages. I could spend my whole life trying to just read it, let alone to have the creative abilities to come up with these chidushim and to record it. And again, this is just a small slice. He wrote in Halacha. He wrote Shailos and Chuvos, responsa literature. He wrote on all areas of Tanakh. Unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, my eye moved slightly to the left, and I noticed there was a volume right next to it that said on it, Noach. This was just Parshas Bereishis. Noach, Lech Lecha. I think they were up to maybe Chayesar at that point, about 3,000 pages in total. Unbelievable. And he left countless, countless pages of Chidushei Torah. A creative genius, a really unbelievable Talmud Chacham. And he writes in one of his smaller volumes on Chumash called the Imrei Shefer, a comment to Parshas Vayakel. As the Mishkan is being crafted, as the Mishkan is being put together, again, a magnificent work of art, the Pasuk describes in source number 3, V'lachshov machshavot lasot bezav v'kesef u'nachoshes. They needed craftsmen who would use their creative ability to create things of gold, of silver, of nachoshes, to use the various materials, the various metals and the precious threads that have been donated to the Mishkan. It says Rav Shlomo Kluger, there's two types of artists in the world. There's two different ways that a person can use their artistic ability. Some people could see, someone could take a look at this painting and say, you know what, I never could have thought of this on my own. But now that it's here, if you give me an easel and you give me a canvas and you give me some nice paints and a few brushes and I stand there, I could make a replica of this painting. That's one level of artistic ability. To be able to look at something that exists and to be able to make your own rendering of it. But to be able to create it, to think of it on your own, to discover something that wasn't always there,
is that much greater.
Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, what's the Torah looking for in the craftsman of the Mishkan? V'yesh lomar, he writes in source number 4, Hakavana dihine yeshnei mine bali malachus. There's two types of craftsmen, two types of artists in the world. Yeshu uman gadol lasos b'malacha, ach eina yachol lios mamtzi b'machshav to davar chadash. A person is not able to be an inventor, not able to create anew, not able to think of something, to paint a painting that's never been produced before, that he's only able to copy over that which already exists, or to look at something that exists in the world, and to make an artist's, again, rendering of that living thing, or of that inanimate object. But then says of Shlomo Kluger, where it's bolded, V'yesh uman gadol yoser. But there's an artist who's much greater than that. To be able to invent new things, to create images that never existed before, that never were, and could never truly be expressed if not through that person. Discovering something within one's own soul and finding a way to express it, to share it with others. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when we're going to build the Mishkan, Lo mi bayi shayu b'kan umanim, Muvhakim b'malachos, asher kvar nischadshu. Hashem says, I don't want craftsmen who are able to construct the Mishkan just by looking at things that they've seen before and creating a structure for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell in this world. I don't want to live, Hashem says, in a replica. I want to live in something authentic, something new, something unique. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ela afil lachshov machshavos lasos, bizav akasef unachoshas. To be able to use one's creative abilities to create something new, to discover something that was always there beneath the surface, but never expressed itself in this world. And I think that's the connection between art and tshuva. What is tshuva? What are we trying to do in Chodesh Elul? What are we seeking to accomplish in Chodesh Elul? What is it that Hashem wants from us in this month when we're all preparing ourselves? Before we know it, it'll be Rosh Hashanah, and soon after it'll be Yom Kippur. What exactly is tshuva? What's supposed to happen when we do tshuva? What are we returning to? And the simple answer is that we're trying to return to ourselves. We're trying to discover, we're trying to uncover something that lay beneath the surface that never was able to express itself in this world. A part of ourself that was always there, but was never able to find its true expression in this world. One of the greatest artists in the Italian Renaissance in the early 16th century was Michelangelo. And one of his most famous works of art, which I guess for from Jews is a little bit of a busha, right, is his sculpture, King David. His sculpture of David HaMelech. It's a nude male sculpture, certainly not the image we would like to have of David HaMelech, right, but it's a magnificent work of art, and again, it's still considered to this day to be one of the greatest sculptures, certainly of Michelangelo, and of maybe of all time. And he was asked, and again, this may be an apocryphal tale, but the message is certainly true. I once read that he was asked, after completing this magnificent work of art, how did you do it? How were you able to take that block of marble and to turn it into this magnificent work of art? And Michelangelo replied the following. He said, the truth is, it was very simple. It wasn't as hard as it looks. He said, the face of King David was hidden underneath the marble the entire time. All I had to do was chisel away the exterior until I uncovered what was always there. He was able to look at that block of marble and see something deeper. To recognize that there's something, if I could just chip away the parts of this block that aren't supposed to be there, then very naturally what will emerge is something very beautiful. Something that was always lying beneath the surface. And I think that's exactly what the tshuva process is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not asking us to create something new from outside of ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us to be thoughtful, to be creative, to be artistic, and to dig deep inside of ourselves and to uncover a part of ourselves that was always there, that was implanted inside of us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself when he gave us our neshama. It's interesting. What term do we use for a person who has rejected Torah and mitzvot? What are some of the phrases that we use? Some of the terms we use to describe a person who is no longer observant of Torah and mitzvot. A person is an apikores. I will say the person is a kofar. What does it mean to be kofar? We say the Rasha at the Seder and the Haggadah and the four sons, right? The Rasha is kofar bakol. We knock out his teeth because he's kofar bakol. Kofar literally means to deny everything. He's a denier. But what does that shorish actually mean? What does the word kofar actually mean? Where do we first encounter it in the Torah? Noach's building a teva. V'chafarta osa mibayis mi'chutz ba'kofer. He covers the teva inside and out with kofer. Kofer literally means the kaporas on top of the aron. The word kofer means a cover-up. What we're really saying to the person, to that Jew, who's not living a life of Torah and mitzvos, by labeling that person as a kofer, what we're saying is, you're just covering up your true self. There's a part of you inside that wants to be an Orthodox Jew, that has a deep connection and love for Torah and mitzvos, that sees the opportunity of Shabbos as an opportunity and a privilege, not a burden. But unfortunately, it's been covered. It's been covered by desires, it's been covered by false ideologies, whatever it is that's covered over the essential self. But if you could just allow yourself to, again, to chisel away those parts of the rock, that part of the sculpture that's not really supposed to be there, you'll uncover your true self. It'll emerge. How many people, unfortunately, are hiding behind things that are, they're too scared to allow their true religious self to emerge, for a variety of reasons, whatever those fears might be based upon. But how many people are hiding behind something? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us, all I'm asking of you during Elul and Rosh Hashanah, is just to allow the true spark of godliness that I implanted inside of you to emerge. Don't be afraid of it. It's not going to hurt. It's a privilege. It's a gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to partner with you to create this magnificent work of art, namely your life. And it's just a question of us having the courage and the willingness to reveal that spark within. Dr. Pelkovitz spoke a number of years ago to a group of high school educators. One of my friends who teaches in one of the modern Orthodox yeshiva high schools was there. And Dr. Pelkovitz mentioned a book called The Courage to Teach. It's written by an educator, a teacher, an activist, a fellow by the name of Parker Palmer. And in the second chapter of his book, he describes the encounter between teacher and student in the classroom. And sometimes it's a very uncomfortable encounter, both for the teacher and for the student. And even though the teacher is trying to relay vital information, hopefully what the teacher considers to be vital information, and the student is there to get an education, but sometimes there's a terrible disconnect between teacher and student. He writes in the second chapter of his book, again it's called The Courage to Teach, you don't have it on the page in front of you, he says, to avoid a live encounter with teachers, students can hide behind their notebooks and their silence. And the student can just sit there taking notes, not really engaged in the conversation, not really involved in active learning. To avoid a live encounter with students, the teacher can hide behind their podiums, their credentials, and their power. And Dr. Pelkovitz went on to describe how very often in the religious process, in the discovery of one's religious self, a person is also hiding. Hiding, but sometimes behind Torah mitzvos itself. That I'm going through the outer trappings of a life of Avodas Hashem, but I'm not really connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So one of my friends, who again heard this from Dr. Pelkovitz, had a conversation with his students in the days that followed. And he asked his students to write, if they would, to write an essay describing their feeling towards their religious connection. Meaning, to what degree they felt comfortable with their religiosity, to what degree they were happy in their life, what degree they wanted to grow in their religion. And one girl wrote, and I quote, my friend shared with me her exact words, very, very intense words that she wrote. She said, I myself am not hiding behind a tree. Because this teacher presented, you know, sometimes a person is hiding behind the tree and doesn't want to emerge. That was the muscle Dr. Pelkovitz was using when he was describing it. So this young girl in high school, she said, I myself am not hiding behind a tree. I'm hiding behind a forest, stopping me from continuing a more spiritual journey. Some of us are hiding behind trees. Some of us are hiding behind notebooks. Some of us are hiding behind genders. Some of us are hiding behind forests. Some of us are hiding beneath the rocky surface of the outer trappings of our being. But a person who has the courage to just pick up those tools and to start chiseling away, to start chipping away those parts of my life that don't really belong, and to allow, again, with the emunah shleima, that there's something inside of me that's pure, that's holy, that's perfect, that's just waiting to emerge, that so naturally has been placed inside of me, to just start chiseling away at the surface. One of the ramazim, one of the hints to Chodesh Elul, is found in a pasuk, in Devarim Perek Lamed, in source number 5 on the page in front of you. The Torah describes, Umal Hashem Elokecha eslavavcha veslavav zarecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Umal Hashem Elokecha, Hashem is going to circumcise the heart. Hashem is going to allow us to feel in a way that we're supposed to feel. Umal Hashem Elokecha eslavavcha, your heart, veslavav zarecha, in the heart of your children. Hashem is going to help us in this process, again, of allowing ourselves to emerge from beneath the arlas halev, the blockage of the heart. So many Svarim already, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and many deeper works of Chassidus point to a remez in this pasuk. You can look where it's, you can see the letters. Es levavcha ve'es levav is Rashi tables. The first letters spell out El. Es levavcha aleph lamed ve'es levav vav lamed spells out El. Why does this pasuk describing God circumcising our heart, why is this a pasuk that alludes to Chodesh El? So I want to learn together a piece of Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes was the Ger Rebbe in Tofresh Nun Aleph, a little over 100 years ago. The Sfas Emes shared, he shared over the course of a Shabbos, and it was written in very shorthand. Anyone who's learned the teachings of the Sfas Emes knows that the writings of this Polish Hasidic giant are written very cryptically, very shorthand. But he writes in Parshas Tazria something which I think will shed insight on this remez. Again, the remez, the hint in the pasuk is es levavcha ve'es levav, in the context of God circumcising our hearts, a hint to Chodesh El. What does that have to do with Chodesh El? How does it fit into everything we've described so far today? Says the Sfas Emes in source number 6, Bayom Hashmini Yimol. Let's talk about actual circumcision, as it appears in the Torah in Parshas Tazria. The Medrash Tanchuma says, Sfas Emes quotes it, Mashaheshi Rabbi Akiva Maisa Basar Vidam Na'im. Now again, if you don't know the background, you don't know what the Sfas Emes is talking about. The Medrash describes an encounter between Rabbi Akiva and a heretic. And he said, who's better, man or God? Who's greater, man or God? Right? He was trying to trick Rabbi Akiva. And he said he was wondering, you know, if man has to circumcise, Judaism believes that a male child has to be circumcised, so then God is not creating a perfect human being. And Rabbi Akiva says, yes, in a certain sense, yes. Basar v'dam, yes, man is even greater than God. That God creates an imperfect human being, and man with the bris milah brings the child to perfection. Makes the child tumen, makes the child wholesome. Right? It's a complicated medrash. It's a complex discussion, a theological discussion between Rabbi Akiva and this heretic. And Rabbi Akiva says, Lo ninnu ha mitzvos el litzarif habrius. And yes, that's exactly what mitzvos are intended to do. Mitzvos were given to us to help us to achieve perfection, to perfect ourselves, to refine ourselves. Says this Sfas Emes, the Gemara that we started with. The pasuk says, Ein sur kelokeinu. There is no rock. There is no force in the world like our God. Which again, you remember what the Gemara told us. Ein tzayar. There's no artist like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who draws a picture inside of a picture. Says the Sfas Emes, you know what that means for us? That's nice. So Hashem is really talented. A Kodesh Baruch Hu was able to develop and nurture a child for 9 months in the mother's womb. That's an amazing thing. So what? What does that do for us? We learned that we have to try to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean that there's a picture inside of a picture inside of a picture? Says the Sfas Emes, such a beautiful insight. Perish, where it's bolded. Because there's a picture of yourself inside of yourself, and inside of that picture there's another picture. You know, like those little Russian doll things where you take it out and there's another one, a smaller one inside? Right? The truth is, with a Jew, when you peel back the layers, there's a bigger one inside. Right? It's almost like a magic trick. You take off the smaller one and the bigger one pops out. Right? There's layers upon layers, says the Sfas Emes, of our potential. Bris Vila, that mitzvah by which a child enters into a bris with a covenant with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is really the first step of what? Of peeling back layers of oneself, to reveal a deeper version of oneself. And to peel back another layer, to reveal another deeper layer of oneself. There's so much going on inside of us, it's just a question of how much do we want to allow it to emerge. One of my rabbis, Rav Judah Michel, I'm sure many of us know well, Rav Judah always says it's like a Shabbos lamp. It's like one of those Shabbos lamps, right? It's always glowing on the inside. It's just a question of how much light you want to allow to shine out from the inside. You can close it completely, and it can have the appearance that there's no light at all. Or you can open it a little bit, and let a little bit of light shine out. Or you can open it all the way, and it can illuminate a room. That's what's going on inside of ourselves. Says the Sfas Emes, the concept of Bris Milah, the conversation between Rabbi Akiva, the depth of this Medrash, is that Rabbi Akiva was saying, yes, man has the obligation to be like Kodesh Baruch Hu, who draws a picture inside of a picture, and to constantly allow to emerge a more profound, more beautiful, more perfected, more refined version of ourselves. That's the avoda of life. That's what we're all striving for, from one day to the next, from 1 month to the next, from 1 year to the next. And that's the hint of Chodesh El, to circumcise es levavcha ves levav zarecha, Rosh Hashanah El. That in El we're trying to peel back another layer, to allow a deeper layer to emerge. Once read in the Sefer, why is it that when people peel onions, your eyes start to tear? Why? Why did Hashem make it that way? I'm sure we could offer a very simple scientific explanation, but as Jews, we have to understand more deeply. I once saw in one of the writings from Rav Avram Shor Shlita, he said he saw once, he quoted, he said, I once saw in a sefer, he didn't mention where it was from. He said, I was once reading a sefer published by a young Torah scholar. And he said, you know why we cry when we peel onions? Because as we see that the onion has many layers, which the Rambam, by the way, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam describes the various spiritual universes, compares them to the layers of an onion. When we peel an onion, we start to cry because we start to realize, you know what? We're disappointed in ourselves. On a deep layer, our neshama is crying, saying, you know what? There's layers of myself that I have yet to explore. There's deeper dimensions to myself. And when am I going to finally start peeling back some of those layers? Allowing the authentic self, the authentic version of myself to emerge. Rav Soloveitchik, many volumes of the Rav's writings have been published over the years. There's a beautiful, beautiful volume put out by the Me'otzer HaRav Foundation called Abraham's Journey. And Rav Soloveitchik is describing, in one of the pieces, he's describing Avram Avinu's discovery of himself. And he quotes a fascinating thing. Rav Soloveitchik, with his great bekias in all areas of Torah and literature, the Rav wrote the following. The Rav said, the famous French writer Roman Roland describes how restless Beethoven was in his youth. It's on the page in front of you in source number 7. Right? Beethoven, the great composer, a different form of art, music. From early childhood, Beethoven used to hear melodies. He would say that there was an orchestra hidden somewhere, under the table, behind the curtain, in the attic, or in the oven. And he was looking for that music. He was always claiming that he heard things. I hear sounds, I hear music. He always heard beautiful melodies playing, and he thought it was somewhere outside of himself. Isn't that what Rav Soloveitchik says? The orchestra was indeed an orchestra, but it was hidden in him, not outside of him. Beethoven had all of those symphonies, all of that music inside of himself. And he heard it, he was catching a glimpse of it here or there, but he never imagined, for a long time as a child, he never imagined that all of that music would come from within him. Until eventually, of course, that music did come from within him. How much more so do we have music, melodies, inside of ourselves to sing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shmona Esrei to be sung to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Dafim of Gemara to be sung to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Prakam of Tehillim to be sung to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Artistic renderings of ourself. Images and versions of ourself that, again, we've never had the courage to emerge from behind that forest to allow ourselves to see. Chodesh El gives us a chance to look a little bit deeper. Chodesh El gives us a chance to tap a little more deeply into the resources and the reservoirs of strength that a Jew has inside of himself or herself. This past Shabbos and in this coming Shabbos, we read about Klal Yisrael at war. We read this past Shabbos in source number 8, Ki Teitzei L'Melchama Aleivecha. We read about Klal Yisrael going out to war, seeing an army that seems to be more powerful, an army that they wouldn't be able to overcome, and yet the Torah says, don't be afraid. Hashem is with you. Hashem is fighting for you. As long as you go out to battle knowing Hashem is by your side, you'll be okay. And of course, this week's Parsha also begins. The name of the Parsha, Ki Teitzei L'Melchama Aleivecha. You go out to war. The Eish HaSifas Toar. Descriptions of war. And again, we have to wonder, why in Chodesh Elul are we reading about the Jewish people on the battlefield? In a certain sense, yes, every Jew is preparing to battle for our lives, to hope for a year of bracha, and hatzlacha, of parnasa, of good health, all the things that a Jew asks for in the Yom Noraim. But what's the imagery of the battlefield that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presenting to us this time of the year? Why is it repeated in these parshas that we read in Chodesh Elul? What happens when a soldier goes to the battlefield? What happens in a time of war? A soldier on a battlefield has to draw on parts of himself that under normal circumstances he would never find inside of himself. A soldier on a battlefield sometimes has to draw on courage that he never knew he had, strength he never knew he had, a certain resolve and commitment and a confidence that maybe on a regular day he doesn't have. It's amazing. Rav Dessler brings in source number 10. For some reason, this mashal is only brought in the English edition of Michta Me'Eliyahu, the Strive for Truth. It's not found in the Hebrew work of Rav Dessler. But it's a beautiful image. And again, I think it helps us to understand the avoda, the work of Chodesh El. Rav Dessler writes in source number 10, in wartime, promising candidates are taken from the ranks of ordinary soldiers, and by a prodigious expenditure on skilled instruction and other requirements, are turned into officers in a fraction of the time normally required. Meaning when there's a war, when a person realizes that we need something more, we need to give a little bit more, somehow on the battlefield we find the strength to give a little bit more. Somehow that ordinary soldier, that regular soldier in a time of war, when all of a sudden he's needed instantly to become a general, somehow he becomes a general. He steps up and he becomes a general. He finds strength that he never knew that he had. In a fraction of time, he's turned into something much bigger than he ever imagined he could be. So in times such as ours, says Rav Dessler, we're living, the Sfarim described the period in which we're living as the Ikvas of the Mashiach. This is the end of days. This is the final chapter of Jewish history. The world is in a very delicate place right now. You don't have to be a major scholar or a person who studies the news in great depth to understand the world is holding in a very shaky place right now. And the stage is set for God forbid, for very frightening things. This is the Ikvas of the Mashiach. Klal Yisrael believe, according to the Gemara's tradition, found in Maseches Avodah Zarah, again in Maseches Sanhedrin, that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. We're entering into the year Tovshin Ayin Ches. We're heading towards the very end, the final turn, so to speak, in this circle of world history. So we're holding by the final battle, so to speak. And what happens, again, in those final moments? What happens when very regular soldiers like ourselves, people who don't consider ourselves to be outstanding scholars or great tzaddikim, regular, decent human beings, but all of a sudden the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, but I need you to bring Mashiach. And I need you to step up. And now it's Chodesh Elul. So we're thinking about what could I do to step up a little bit more? What could I do to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I want to be a better version of myself for the year ahead? Says Rav Dessler, so in times such as ours, when capable men are scarce, anyone who shows willingness to tackle a vital problem has divine assistance. Anyone who says, I want to become a general, Hashem says, good, you're going to be a general. Like the Medrash says, Hashem says, just give me a little opening. Open your heart a tiny bit. Like the eye of a needle, Hashem says, I'll open it up the rest of the way. Show me that you're willing to work together, to find that deeper picture of yourself inside of yourself. Anyone who shows a willingness to tackle a vital problem has divine assistance heaped upon him. It turns the incapable into successful men. Not because they deserve it, says Rav Dessler, but because the world needs them. Because a person recognizes that I'm being called upon to do something that's really, really important. And I dig deep. That's what happens in a time of war. We read it in last week's parsha. We're going to read it again in this week's parsha. We're living through it right now. The Jewish people have to dig a little deeper in Chodesh El, the last month of the calendar year counting from Tishrei, the end of times. A Jew digs a little bit deeper to try to uncover something a little bit more profound. The shoresh of the life of a Jew is Emunah. The first thing that we ever heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. The first mitzvah, according to many Rishonim, not all, some say it's even beyond mitzvos, the foundation of mitzvos, is the belief in Hashem. But along with belief in Hashem comes belief in ourselves. To believe not only in Hashem as some God who's some transcendent being, but to believe as HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists within ourselves, an immanent God who's in our lives, who's imbued a part of himself, if you could say such a thing, inside of ourselves. To believe in the godliness within ourselves and to train ourselves to focus on that. I want to conclude, I want to finish up by learning together one more artistic piece. In the Sefer Tanya, the Tanya, the Bala Tanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi and Perek Mem Beis, describes how a Jew also has to understand that emunah, belief in Hashem, requires a certain artistic skill. What do I mean by that? Let's read the words of the Tanya. We'll read it in English together in source number 11. The essential thing, however, is the mental training to habituate one's mind and thought continuously, that it ever remain fixed in his heart and mind, that everything one sees with one's eyes, the heaven and earth and all that is therein, constitutes the outer garments of the King, the Holy One, blessed be He. That when I walk down the street, and I see a tree, I see a flower blooming, I see a beautiful sunset, I hear a beautiful sound, I look at my spouse or my child or my friend, right? Or I look at my Rebbe, or I look at my student, I look at people in my community. Right? Everything that I see, I have to be able to look past the surface, the superficial presentation of whatever it is that I see, to look a little deeper, to find, so to speak, that spark of God that's found within that person. To train one's eye to look deeply, to recognize the chelik eloka mimal, the sparks of holiness that are found within everything. To realize that the world is truly, with the right perspective, flooded with godliness. That there's no place that is devoid of Hashem, leis asar panoy minei, in the language of the Zohar HaKadosh. There is no place where Hashem cannot be found. That every encounter, everything I see, everything I hear, every thought that enters my mind is somehow a Kadosh Baruch Hu communicating with me. And I have to train myself to see it that way. Says the Bala Tanya, to train one's eye that heaven and earth and everything within it is just the outer layer. It's just the outer peel of the onion. It's just the outermost presentation of self. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found within. In this way, you will constantly be aware of their inwardness and vitality, to be able to look a little deeper, to develop eyes that are able to see beyond the surface. And listen to what the Baal HaTanya writes. Listen to what he says here. This is also implicit in the word emunah. The word emunah, what does the word itself mean? What words do we know that are similar, in fact, to the word emunah? Which is a term indicates training. Emunah, he says, means to train oneself, to which a man habituates himself like a craftsman who trains his hands, and so forth. He says emunah is like an uman, like a craftsman, like an artist. Just like an artist or a person who's learning an instrument has to train one's hands to move in a very skilled way, in a particular way, to strike the right keys in the right sequence, to be able to move the brush with a heavier stroke or a more gentle stroke, right? To be able to produce that work of art. So too a Jew who wants to have a munah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to train ourselves, we have to habituate ourselves. We have to go through the process of reminding myself that Hashem can be found in this situation, that Hashem is found in this person, and even this person who I got into a fight with last week, or for whatever reason has always rubbed me the wrong way, to look a little deeper, to look at our children differently, to look at ourselves differently. My wife went to a shir the other night, very interesting shir, and the woman who was giving the shir handed out mirrors to everyone in the room. And she said, I want you to take a mirror, I want you to look at yourself, and I want you to stare at yourself. Right? Not for the purpose of applying your makeup or fixing your hair, but I want you to really look at yourself, to really think about yourself. And I want you to look at yourself, and I want you to think good things about yourself. I want you to recognize good things that you have inside of yourself. And it's almost an uncomfortable experience to stare at oneself, to really look at oneself, and to recognize who I am, and who I am on a deeper level, who I could be if I would allow it to emerge. To have that encounter with oneself is a very powerful thing. The Baal HaTanya says the same way the craftsman, the artist, has to train his or her hands, again, to be able to produce that magnificent work of art, that magnificent sculpture, to play that beautiful symphony. Right? So too a person who has emunah in Hashem, which again is reflected into the emunah in oneself, the godliness within, has to train oneself, to remind oneself, over and over and over again, I could be deeper, I could be something more. That these hands that sometimes get me into trouble can be trained in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a magnificent quote, a cryptic quote found in the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef, the second to last source, was the first Hasidic work ever published, written by a Talmud of Baal Shem Tov. He himself, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Katz of Polnoa, was once a great misnagid, spoke very strongly against the Baal Shem Tov, thought he was some lunatic who came to town to stop people from davening, to sit around hearing stories all day. In the end, he realized the Baal Shem Tov's way was the way of the future, and he adopted it wholeheartedly, and he wrote the first Hasidic work ever. He quotes his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidus, 249 times in his Sefer. So he writes in Parshas Bo a very cryptic statement. He says, "Umashal echad shamati." I heard a parable. Someone once mentioned to me, "Sha'omer isha achas," a woman from the community of Mezhvuzh, which was the place of the Baal Shem Tov, mentioned once the following idea, and she said it b'lashon Rusya, but we have it here in Lashon Hakodesh. Yafa bacharnu lanu es alokeinu, aval gam Hashem Yisbarach yafa bachar biYisrael. Hashem didn't do so bad, and we didn't do so bad. Hashem made a good choice in choosing Klal Yisrael, and we made a good choice in choosing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what the proof is? You know what the proof is that Hashem made a good choice by choosing us, regular people like us? Because even Faivush, even Faivul, who is an Ishkal, who is a simpleton, was Mekadesh Hashem Yisbarach. He was Mekadesh. He brought great honor and sanctity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is this? What's this mashal? Who is this Isha from Mezhvuzh? What's the Toldos Yaakov talking? The Toldos Yaakov Yosef talking about? So I'll reveal to you the secret. The secret, as we have as tradition, the woman from Mezhvuzh was none other than the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. Who is Faivush? Faivush was a thief, a well-known thief in Mezhvuzh at the time. And he would steal from not only the Jews, he would steal from the local non-Jews. And he was caught stealing from the church. And they took him and they bound him up and they said to Faivush, they said, "Faivush, you have two choices. You can convert to Christianity, or we're going to burn you alive." And Faivush said, I'd rather die a Jew." And they started, hard to describe such a thing, they began to torture him. They lit his hands on fire. And they said again, We're going to burn you. We're going to torture you limb by limb. We're going to burn you piece by piece if you don't convert to Christianity. And Feivish clapped his hands, which were literally on fire. And he said, it's true. He said, it's true. These hands are the hands of a thief. But I'm still a Jew. And I'd rather die a Jew. And God forbid, give away my religion. And I think about this story this time of the year. Because if you remember, we say a very strange thing at the very, very end of Yom Kippur. When it's all said and done. When we come to Ne'ilah. We say in the final paragraph, right before the end of Ne'ilah, we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect us, Ne'oshek Yadenu, that our hands should be hands that are not filled with theft. Rav Soloveitchik had an explanation of what that means. The Chiddush Arim, the first Gaon Rebbe, had an explanation very similar to what Rav Soloveitchik said. What are we davening that the hands should be pure hands? Yes, we say our hands can get us into a lot of trouble. We could train our hands to do all sorts of destructive things. But like the Baal HaTanya said, we could also train our hands like an uman, like a craftsman, right? Uman milashon emuna, we could train ourselves to be believers in Hashem. We could train ourselves to see godliness everywhere that we look. Even when we look in the mirror and we see a reflection of ourselves. And therefore we daven this time with you that even if the hands are the hands of Feivish, even if the hands aren't pure, and even if we've done things in the course of the last year that are embarrassing to us, and we're almost scared to face ourselves, let's remind ourselves that's not the real version of me. That's not who I am. That's only the outer layer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tzar tzura b'soch tzura, an image within an image. And like the Sfas Emes told us, the very nature of Bris Milah, whether it's circumcising the flesh or circumcising the heart, is about peeling back those layers, allowing an inner version of oneself to emerge. I want to conclude with some words, which I hope will offer a little bit of nechama to the Schwartzman family. It's been a very difficult month for them. But I want to conclude by reading together a letter from the Lubavitch Rebbe, which he wrote to an artist who was going through a difficult time in his personal life. And the Lubavitch Rebbe gave him words of nechama, words of comfort. And I hope it'll resonate with us, again, as we reflect on the shloshim of the Neftaris. It's printed in the Igros Kodesh, in the collected letters of the Lubavitch Rebbe in the fourth volume. It's a longer letter. I only gave you part of the letter here. But the Lubavitch Rebbe wrote to this artist, who again was going through a tough time, had lost a close relative as well. He said, you as an artist have the ability to overcome. The essential quality of an artist is his ability to detach himself from the superficial appearance of the image he is working with. The artist is able to see things that other people can't see. He must be able to penetrate the true essence of the object and transform his impression into a picture with physical dimensions. The artistic production reveals to the viewer that which he could not recognize on his own. The artist is able to uncover things that, again, regular people couldn't see. An essence that was obscured by superficial layers. Only an artist has the skill to reveal the inner dimensions of an object, thus enabling the observer to see it with a different perspective and to realize the limitations of his previous awareness. And listen to how the Lubavitch Rebbe concluded his letter to a person who was going through a tough time. Even when we encounter difficulties and tests in life, and we don't have the answers, and we don't know what to make of the loss of life, the loss of a beloved person, at an age that we all consider to be certainly too young, we should see them as a vehicle to bring out our potential and help us in our spiritual growth. As difficult as it is to dig deep, especially in difficult times, the Lubavitch Rebbe said, but those who've been trained by an artist, again, the greatest artist of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each one of us, and again, reflecting on the magnificent life that we're reflecting upon today, a life that was filled with magnificent artwork, creations, creative compositions, beautiful art. Even when we encounter difficulty, says the Lubavitch Rebbe, it's a test that should help us to serve as a vehicle to bring out a deeper part of ourselves. Keeping this perspective in mind will strengthen and inspire a person to cope with life's inevitable challenges and setbacks. So I give us all a bracha. Again, as we come to Chodesh Elul, as we reflect on the legacy and the life that was lived by Masha Bas Meir Liev, to be able to take from these lessons pulled from the world of artistic design, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has trained us in, to train our hands the way the Baal HaTanya described, to train like the uman, like the craftsman, who trains oneself to believe in the ability to create things that other people can't see. The Jewish people have to walk through this world being able to see things that other people can't see. While the world sees the threats of North Korea and all sorts of failed leadership of world leaders, the Jewish people have to say, you know what? We still see the godliness within everything. We see the godliness within ourselves. We see the potential to change those parts of ourselves that have been hiding behind forests or behind trees or behind notebooks or behind shtenders or behind our professional successes or lack thereof over the course of a lifetime. We're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to uncover our hearts. We're going to be like Five-ish, that thief who made bad choices with his hands, but knew that he carried a deep secret inside of his heart, that nothing in the world would take him away from his Yiddishkeit. And to be able to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, the greatest artist of all, who sartzura besoch tzura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates an image inside of an image. Like the Sfas Emes said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created layers upon layers of spiritual potential inside of each and every one of us. Mir Soshem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to have the courage and the skill and the ability and the emunah in ourselves and Him to uncover those parts of ourselves. And Amir Tzashem, each and every one of us will be zochet to chsiva v'chsimatam. Thank you so much.
We've invited into the kitchen for the graphic.
Where do you want this to go?
I got it. Is that yours?
Yeah. Thank you.